Chapter 134. Mr. Toots complained there was an empty room above stairs at the wooden midshipman's, which, in days of yore, had been Walter's bedroom. Walter, rousing up the captain bedhams in the morning, proposed that they should carry thither such furniture out of the little parlor as would grace it best, so that Florence might take possession of it when she rose. As nothing could be more agreeable to Captain Cuttle than making himself very red, and short of breath in such a cause, he turned to, as he himself said, with a will, and, in a couple of hours, this garret was transformed into a species of land cabin, adorned with all the choicest movables out of the parlor, inclusive even of the Tartar frigate, which the captain hung up over the chimney piece with such extreme delight, that he could do nothing for half an hour afterwards, but walk backward from it, lost in admiration. The captain could be induced by no persuasion of Walter's to wind up the big watch, or to take back the canister, or to touch the sugar tongs and teaspoons. "No, no, my lad," apostrophe was the captain's invariable reply to any solicitation of the kind, "I've made that there little property over, gently." Apostrophe these words he repeated with great unction and gravity, evidently believing that they had the virtue of an act of parliament, and that unless he committed himself by some new admission of ownership, no flaw could be found in such a form of conveyance. It was an advantage of the new arrangement, that besides the greater seclusion it afforded Florence, it admitted of the midshipman being restored to his usual post of observation, and also of the shop shutters being taken down. The latter ceremony, however little importance the unconscious captain attached to it, was not wholly superfluous. For, on the previous day, so much excitement had been occasioned in the neighborhood, by the shutters remaining unopened, that the instrument maker's house had been honored with an unusual share of public observation, and had been intently stared at from the opposite side of the way, by groups of hungry gazers, at any time between sunrise and sunset. The idlers and vagabonds had been particularly interested in the captain's fate, constantly groveling in the mud, to apply their eyes to the cellar grating, under the shop window, and delighting their imaginations with the fancy that they could see a piece of his coat as he hung in a corner, though this settlement of him was stoutly disputed by an opposite faction, who were of opinion that he lay murdered with a hammer on the stairs. It was not without exciting some discontent, therefore, that the subject of these rumors was seen early in the morning standing at his shop door as hale and hearty, as if nothing had happened. And the beadle of that quarter, a man of an ambitious character, who had expected to have the distinction of being present at the breaking open of the door, and of giving evidence in full uniform before the coroner, went so far as to say to an opposite neighbor that the chap in the glazed hat had better not try it on there without more particularly mentioning what, and further, that he, the beadle, would keep his eye upon him. Captain Cuttle, apostrophe said Walter, musing, when they stood resting from their labors at the shop door, looking down the old familiar street, it being still early in the morning, nothing at all of Uncle Sol, in all that time. Apostrophe, apostrophe, nothing at all, my lad, apostrophe replied the captain, shaking his head. Gone in search of me, dear, kind old man, apostrophe said Walter. Yet never write to you. But why not? He says, in effect, in this packet that you gave me, apostrophe taking the paper from his pocket, which had been opened in the presence of the enlightened Bunsby, that if you never hear from him before opening it, you may believe him dead. Heaven forbid! But you would have heard of him, even if he were dead. Someone would have written, surely, by his desire, if he could not, and have said, on such a day, there died in my house, or under my care, or so forth, Mr. Solomon Gills of London, who left this last remembrance and this last request to you. Apostrophe, the captain, who had never climbed to such a clear height of probability before, was greatly impressed by the wide prospect it opened, and answered, with a thoughtful shake of his head, well said, my lad, worry well said. Apostrophe, I have been thinking of this, or, at least, apostrophe said Walter, coloring, I have been thinking of one thing and another, all through a sleepless night, and I cannot believe, Captain Cuttle, but that my uncle Sol, Lord bless him, is alive, and will return. I don't so much wonder at his going away, because, leaving out of consideration, that spice of the marvelous which was always in his character, and his great affection for me, before which every other consideration of his life became nothing, as no one ought to know so well as I who had the best of fathers in him. Apostrophe Walter's voice was indistinct and husky here, and he looked away, along the street, leaving that out of consideration. I say, I have often read, and heard of people who, having some near and dear relative, who was supposed to be shipwrecked at sea, have gone down to live on that part of the seashore where any tidings of the missing ship might be expected to arrive, though only an hour or two sooner than elsewhere, or have even gone upon her track to the place whither she was bound, as if their going would create intelligence. I think I should do such a thing myself, as soon as another, or sooner than many, perhaps. But why my uncle shouldn't write to you, when he so clearly intended to do so, or how he should die abroad, and you not know it through some other hand, I cannot make out. Apostrophe, Captain Cuttle observed, with a shake of his head, that Jack Bunsby himself hadn't made it out, and that he was a man as could give a pretty taut opinion to. If my uncle had been a heedless young man, likely to be entrapped by jovial company to some drinking place, where he was to be got rid of for the sake of what money he might have about him, apostrophe said Walter, or if he had been a reckless sailor, going ashore with 2 or 3 months' pay in his pocket, I could understand his disappearing, and leaving no trace behind. But, being what he was and is, I hope I can't believe it. Apostrophe, Waller, my lad, apostrophe inquired the captain, wistfully eyeing him as he pondered and pondered, what do you make of it, then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Captain Cuttle, apostrophe returned Walter, I don't know what to make of it. I suppose he never has written. There is no doubt about that. Apostrophe, if so be as Sol Gills wrote, my lad, apostrophe replied the captain, argumentatively, where's his dispatch? Apostrophe, apostrophe, say, that he entrusted it to some private hand, apostrophe suggested Walter, and that it has been forgotten, or carelessly thrown aside, or lost. Even that is more probable to me than the other event. In short, I not only cannot bear to contemplate that other event, Captain Cuttle, but I can't, and won't. Apostrophe, hope, you see, Waller, apostrophe said the captain, sagely, hope. It's that as animates you. Hope is a buoy, for which you overhaul your little warbler, sentimental division. But Lord, my lad, like any other buoy, it only floats. It can't be steered nowhere. Along with the figurehead of hope, apostrophe said the captain, there's a anchor. But what's the good of my having a anchor, if I can't find no bottom to let it go in? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Captain Cuttle said this rather in his character of a sagacious citizen and householder, bound to impart a morsel from his stores of wisdom to an inexperienced youth, than in his own proper person. Indeed, his face was quite luminous as he spoke, with new hope, caught from Walter, and he appropriately concluded, by slapping him on the back, and saying, with enthusiasm, "Hoor, my lad! Individually, I mow your opinion." Apostrophe Walter, with his cheerful laugh, returned the salutation, and said, "Only one word more about my uncle at present, Captain Cuttle. I suppose it is impossible that he can have written in the ordinary course by mail packet, or ship letter, you understand, apostrophe, my lad, apostrophe said the captain approvingly. And that you have missed the letter, anyhow? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, Waller, apostrophe said the captain, turning his eyes upon him with a faint approach to a severe expression. Ain't I been on the lookout for any tidings of that man O'Science, old Sol Gills, your uncle, day and night, ever since I lost him? Ain't my heart been heavy and watchful always, along of him and you? Sleeping and waking, ain't I been upon my post, and wouldn't I scorn to quit it, while this here midshipman held together. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, Captain Cuttle, apostrophe, replied Walter, grasping his hand, I know you would, and I know how faithful and earnest all you say and feel is. I am sure of it. You don't doubt that I am as sure of it as I am that my foot is again upon this doorstep, or that I again have hold of this true hand. Do you? Apostrophe, no, no, Waller, apostrophe, returned the captain, with his beaming, I'll hazard no more conjectures, apostrophe, said Walter, fervently shaking the hard hand of the captain, who shook his with no less goodwill. All I will add is, heaven forbid that I should touch my uncle's possessions, Captain Cuttle. Everything that he left here shall remain in the care of the truest of stewards and kindest of men, and if his name is not Cuttle, he has no name. Now, best of friends, about Miss Domini. Apostrophe, there was a change in Walter's manner as he came to these two words, and when he uttered them, all his confidence and cheerfulness appeared to have deserted him. I thought, before Miss Domini stopped me, when I spoke of her father last night, apostrophe, said Walter, apostrophe, you remember how? Apostrophe, the captain well remembered, and shook his head. I thought, apostrophe, said Walter, before that, that we had but one hard duty to perform, and that it was, to prevail upon her to communicate with her friends, and to return home. Apostrophe, the captain muttered a feeble avast. Apostrophe, apostrophe, or a standby. Apostrophe, or something or other, equally pertinent to the occasion. But it was rendered so extremely feeble by the total discomfiture with which he received this announcement, that what it was, is mere matter of conjecture. But, apostrophe, said Walter, that is over. I think so, no longer. I would sooner be put back again upon that piece of wreck, on which I have so often floated, since my preservation, in my dreams, and there left to drift, and drive, and die. Apostrophe, apostrophe, poor, my lad. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the captain, in a burst of uncontrollable satisfaction. Poor, poor, poor. Apostrophe, to think that she, so young, so good, and beautiful, apostrophe, said Walter, so delicately brought up, and born to such a different fortune, should strive with the rough world. But we have seen the gulf, that cuts off all behind her, though no one but herself can know how deep it is, and there is no return. Captain Cuttle, without quite understanding this, greatly approved of it, and observed in a tone of strong corroboration, that the wind was quite abaft. She ought not to be alone here, ought she, Captain Cuttle? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Walter, anxiously. Well, my lad, apostrophe, replied the captain, after a little sagacious consideration. I don't know. You being here to keep her company, you see, and you too being gently apostrophe, dear Captain Cuttle. Apostrophe, apostrophe, remonstrated Walter. I being here. Miss Domini, in her guileless innocent heart, regards me as her adopted brother. But what would the guile and guilt of my heart be, if I pretended to believe that I had any right to approach her, familiarly, in that character, if I pretended to forget that I am bound, in honor, not to do it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Waller, my lad, apostrophe, hinted the captain, with some revival of his discomfiture, ain't there no other character as apostrophe, oh. Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Walter, would you have me die in her esteem in such esteem as hers, and put a veil between myself and her angel's face forever, by taking advantage of her being here for refuge, so trusting and so unprotected, to endeavor to exalt myself into her lover? What do I say? There is no one in the world who would be more opposed to me, if I could do so, than you. Apostrophe, Waller, my lad, apostrophe, said the captain, drooping more and more, providing as there is any just cause or impediment, why two persons should not be joined together in the house of bondage, for which you'll overhaul the place and make a note, I hope I should declare it as promised and vowed in the banns. So there ain't no other character, ain't there, my lad? Apostrophe apostrophe, Walter briskly waved his hand in the negative. Well, my lad, apostrophe growled the captain slowly, I won't deny, but what I find myself worry much down by the head, a long notice here, or but what I've gone clean about. But as to Lady Lass, Waller, mind you, what's respect and duty to her, is respect and duty in my articles, wholesome of her disciplining, and therefore I follows in your wake, my lad, and feel as you are, no doubt, acting up to yourself. And there ain't no other character, ain't there? Apostrophe apostrophe said the captain, musing over the ruins of his fallen castle, with a very despondent face. Now, Captain Cuttle, apostrophe said Walter, starting a fresh point with a gayer air, to cheer the captain up, but nothing could do that. He was too much concerned. I think we should exert ourselves to find someone who would be a proper attendant for Miss Dombey, while she remains here, and who may be trusted. None of her relations may. It's clear Miss Dombey feels that they are all subservient to her father. What has become of Susan? Apostrophe apostrophe, the young woman? Apostrophe apostrophe, returned the captain. It's my belief as she was sent away again the will of heart's delight. I made a signal for her, when Lady Lass first come, and she rated of her worry high, and said she had been gone a long time. Apostrophe, then, apostrophe said Walter, do you ask Miss Dombey where she's gone, and we'll try to find her. The morning's getting on, and Miss Dombey will soon be rising. You are her best friend. Wait for her upstairs, and leave me to take care of all down here. Apostrophe, the captain, very crestfallen indeed, echoed the sigh with which Walter said this, and complied. Florence was delighted with her new room, anxious to see Walter, and overjoyed at the prospect of greeting her old friend Susan. But Florence could not say where Susan was gone, except that it was in Essex, and no one could say, she remembered, unless it were Mr. Toots. With this information the melancholy captain returned to Walter, and gave him to understand that Mr. Toots was the young gentleman whom he had encountered on the doorstep, and that he was a friend of his, and that he was a young gentleman of property, and that he hopelessly adored Miss Dombey. The captain also related how the intelligence of Walter's supposed fate at first made him acquainted with Mr. Toots, and how there was solemn treaty and compact between them that Mr. Toots should be mute upon the subject of his love. The question then was whether Florence could trust Mr. Toots, and Florence saying, with a smile, oh, yes, with her whole heart. Apostrophe apostrophe, it became important to find out where Mr. Toots lived. This, Florence didn't know, and the captain had forgotten, and the captain was telling Walter, in the little parlor, that Mr. Toots was sure to be there soon, when in came Mr. Toots himself. Captain Gills, apostrophe said Mr. Toots, rushing into the parlor without any ceremony, I'm in a state of mind bordering on distraction. Apostrophe apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.